Revelation chapter number 3 tonight. Book of Revelation chapter 3. Well, a lot of things amaze me. Do they you? How we can have a Savior that done so much for us and never tell anybody about Him. Is that an amazing thing? Wow. How God could give us so much love and we not love anybody else. Just a lot of things that, what I'm trying to say is, when God works in our hearts, there's things that happen. Amen. There's joy that comes. There's a desire to be with God's people. I mean, there's a want for all of those kinds of things. And praise the Lord for that. When God saved me, He changed me. Because before I got saved, I didn't want to go to church. I didn't want to study the Bible. I didn't want to pray. I didn't want any of that kind of stuff. And God changed all that desire. Well, we're going to look at the church at Philadelphia tonight, Revelation chapter number 3, and we're going to read from verses 7 down to verse number 13. And we're going to take and we're going to study some of this. And I trust that God give us a blessing. He's going to have to lead and direct. This afternoon, as I was studying, I had two of my cousins come to my office and sit down. And I have an aunt, the only one left, who turned worse today, and they're not sure she's going to make it. And they came to me and said, "Gene, would you be willing to do our mom's funeral?" I don't know if it's a foregone thing, but they want that. And they didn't know what to do, and so we went through a lot of different things. And what a blessing it is to have some family members that want to look to God at the right times. So I appreciate your prayers for them concerning that. That God might work in their hearts. They said things to me I'd never heard them say in my entire life. And I think God's working their lives, and that's exciting. God's good, amen? Amen? I hope you don't suffer as a result of it tonight with lack of preparation, but we're going for it because I think there's some wonderful things here in these verses, Church of Philadelphia. Verse number 7 says, "To the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee, because thou hast kept the word of my patience. I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you this evening for your wonderful word. Oh God, how we thank you. We can open its pages and allow the Holy Spirit of God to teach us. Oh Father, tonight we need of your Spirit to teach us, to move us. Oh God, to bring about in our hearts and lives that which you so desire. Lord, I pray that you would this evening do a work in our hearts. Oh God, give us a longing for the things of God, for the work of God. May you be glorified through it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please go ahead and be seated. My normal course of action when I come to these two chapters in Revelation, these seven churches and the letters here, is to take these one verse at a time, which I'm going to do tonight. But normally I take them in order. Tonight I want to reverse something and begin in verse number 13. If there's ever a time that we need to heed the closing verse. I believe it's now. Notice what it says in verse 13. He that hath what? An ear. What's he supposed to do? Hear what? What the Spirit saith unto the churches. That's interesting. We find that God, through the Holy Spirit, brings to you and I the wonderful Word of God. We find that in this letter, or in this book of Revelation, that there are seven letters to seven different churches. We can look and we can determine that not only is it to seven distinct different churches, but also it's a letter like that to the Galatians, like that to the Colossians, like that to the Thessalonians, that is written for all Christians of all ages. And so we can come here and we can say, this letter to the Philadelphia people was also written to the church at Open Door. Just as though, as the letter to Sardis, just as that to Thyatira, just as that as we will look next week at the church at Laodicea. But we need to allow the Spirit of God to speak to us as a church and as individuals. Herein lies, I fear, a great problem. For there are a number of people who go to church but never really pay attention. There are those who come and they sit and they hear stuff, but they really do not allow the leadership of the Spirit of God in their life. In fact, I believe chapter 3 and verse number 1 may talk about them when it says, thou hast a name that thou livest and art what? Dead. Oh, what an accusation against those at Sardis. And against us when we are unwilling to allow the Spirit of God to speak to our hearts and to move us in the direction He so desires. This church has what we need so desperately in times like these. We find in our age that, as Paul wrote to Timothy, we find that men are lovers of themselves more than they are lovers of God. We find that true in the world, but we find it also true within our local churches. We find that the things of the world have more importance than the things of God. We find that we are willing to follow after those things far too often as opposed to following after what God seeks for our lives. With those things in mind, let me start in verse number 7, where it says, and to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write. Some believe that that is a real angel. Some believe that that is the messenger of God, who would probably be called the pastor. And that message is to be delivered to these people. And notice what it says here. These things saith he that is holy, he that is true. And then it goes on to say, he that hath the key of David. He that is holy and he that is true. Up to this point, these churches have all had given to them a distinct revelation from the book of Revelation, chapter 1, of the Lord Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, when you go back to verse number 1, we find these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God. Something referred to back in chapter 1. However, these thoughts are not referred to in chapter number 1. It is something brand new that is given. And so to this church at Pergamos, he has some very specific things that he wants them to understand. And that is that he is holy. He is true. The city of Philadelphia was founded by a man who was a king. His name was Attalus. He was from Pergamon. He had a very great relationship with his brother. And so he named this city in honor of his brother, and he called it Philadelphia. It was in honor of his brother because that term means brotherly love. And so here's a church now that has a tremendous name and one which you and I ought to be demonstrating in our lives. Amen. That of brotherly love one to another. Today, if you were to go to this city, you would find it's called Lassiter, and yet the city still remains unto this day. And as we look here and we find that the Lord Jesus Christ says, I am writing as one who is holy, one that is true. He does what is right. He does what is holy. Matter of fact, in the book of Psalm 33, verse 4 says, "For the word of the Lord is right, and all His works are done in truth." Listen, brethren, we will never be effective in ministry without truth and without holiness. And so to this church, the Lord Jesus Christ shows Himself as true and as holy. But notice also, as He speaks here, He says, "He that hath the key of David, he that openeth, and no man shutteth, and no man openeth." In the book of Isaiah, chapter 22, and verse 22, it reads, "And the key of the house of David will I lay upon his shoulder, so he shall open, and none shall shut. He shall shut, and none shall open." In the Old Testament, in the days of Hezekiah, there was a man by the name of Shebna. He had been basically the treasurer under Hezekiah. He was a key figure in the government. But he'd been unfaithful. God took that key from him and through Hezekiah gave it to Eliakim. And Eliakim really became a key figure and one which you and I can look to and understand that God wants you and I to realize that we are in a tremendous position. We have that position of being able to unlock some doors of opportunity for people. But more specifically, this is referring to none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah chapter number 9 verse 6 says, "For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Power, of the increase of his government peace shall be no end. Upon the throne of David, upon his kingdom, to order and establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." And thus we find here, this be a reference to our Savior who comes to this church to leave them a tremendous message. Notice what He says to them in particular. He says, "I know thy works." Interesting. That's all He says. "Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name." I don't know about you, but when I read that list, I find a church that has been standing very true to our Savior. We find the Lord opens doors, and the Lord closes doors. He says to this church that He has set before them an open door. He says, "I have seen your works. I know what you're doing. I have given you an open door." By the way, from thence, from this particular verse, comes the name of our church. How we ought to live up to it, not be that which is a name only, but the door of opportunity. He knows their works must be good, but He also knows that they have little strength. Matter of fact, it's believed that their congregation is not very large. It is believed that they don't really have a great physical presence in the city of Philippi, and yet they are people whom God uses. They have little strength. Let me take you to 2 Corinthians chapter number 12 and verse number 9, and let's make some application. It says, "And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee." Paul had just besought the Lord three times because of an ailment that he had. He says, "For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore," Paul says, "will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." They might have little strength of their own. But when you and I recognize that we cannot accomplish in our own power, all of a sudden we have ability through Him. It's not by my might. It's not by my strength. It's not by yours. But it is by God's that we can accomplish anything. How we need Him to work in and through. They had little strength of their own, but all how they could depend upon Him. He says, I know your works. I've set before you an open door. I believe He's referring to a great door of opportunity. No man can shut it, for thou hast little strength and hast kept my word and hast not denied my name. No man can shut it. They don't have enough strength to shut it. But they can depend upon Him to keep it open. They can look to Him. And it says here they have kept His word. They've not diluted it. They've not distorted it. They have guarded it very carefully. Deal with the word of God loosely, and it won't be long before you are denying its truth. We find in America that we have so often changed this word and made new versions to where some people call them perversions, that we have lost, really, our identity with it. How important is the word of God? They did not deny its truth. But notice also it says here that they had not denied His name. If we were to take the name of our Lord, oftentimes we find it given as the Lord Jesus Christ. They had not denied Jesus. They had not denied the saving power that He has. For that term means God saves. They had not denied His honor as the Anointed One, the Christ. They had not denied His dominance and His position of authority over them as their Lord. They had not denied His name. So here comes this message to this church, and a church that, by the way, does not get any condemnation. But there is this commendation. As the Lord says, I know your works. And I've given you opportunity. You've not had a lot of strength, but you have depended upon Me. You've not turned away from the Word of God. You've not turned away from My name. And notice what He tells them. Verse number 9. Behold, I will make of them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee. Oh my goodness, what does that mean? We've seen this term before in chapter number 2. And evidently a reference to those who have come and preached a false doctrine. One of those who was very popular in those days was by those called Judaizers. And they tried to mix the gospel with the law of the Old Testament. And they were ones who would try to get those, after they were saved, to be circumcised. They would try to get them to live by all the doctrines of the law, of the ceremonial law. By the way, we have very strong Judaizer groups in America today. They're amongst us at these moments and seeking to do the exact same thing. There are those who proclaim the name of Christ who will every year go someplace for a feast of the tabernacles. They will go someplace and observe the Passover. And they put both together. However, they believe that all of the promises to the Israelites are promises to the church. They have some things that are messed up. And what God says is that these who have, if I understand this correctly, false doctrine, they're going to realize one of these days who I really love. They are going to bend the knee before the Lord. I don't believe He's referring here that they're going to bow down and worship the Philadelphia people. But certainly it will be in their presence as they bow to the Lord and they also recognize that these people were true blue. They were on the right side. Notice what He also says, verse number 10, because thou hast kept the word of My patience, I will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. There are three primary views in regards to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are those who believe that God's people are going to go through the tribulation. Jesus will come at the end of that tribulation and gather us unto Himself. They are called post-tribulationists. Isn't that a big word? There are those, and for some reasons, they believe that Jesus is going to allow us to go through half of the tribulation, the first 3.5 years. You who have studied Revelation, you know that it is divided into two halves. We call these mid-tribulationists. There are those who believe, and I'd be that group, that Jesus is going to come before the tribulation and gather His people unto Himself. And I believe that one of the reasons is right here in this verse. He says, I will keep thee from the hour of temptation. I believe He's referring directly to that which is going to come upon all the world, the tribulation period, which we find that the book of Revelation speaks much of. And the promise of the rapture is theirs. The time of coming trouble will not be theirs. Now, during that time of trouble that we call tribulation, there will be people saved. I'm not sure that there's going to be the mass revival that some predict, but there will be people saved during that time. Most of them will die a horrible martyr's death and be taken to the presence of God. They will experience that tremendous time of trouble. But I believe tonight that, like the Philadelphians, you and I, if we're saved, are going to miss out on that day. The Lord is coming. And notice what He says in verse number 11, Behold, I come what? Quickly. You say, but preacher, it's been 2,000 years. Well, can we remember something? How much time that is in God's mind? Yeah, it's just a couple days. Yeah, it's just a couple days. You heard the story about the guy who said, he said, Lord, you said that 1,000 years is as one day to you. Lord, that must mean that $1 million is like a penny to you. Lord, would you give me a couple pennies? Some of you will get that one of these days. But it's our Lord's coming. And I believe very, very quickly. He said, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. In the midst of this, there is a warning to the Philadelphians, to those who have brotherly love, to those whom God has just said, you have kept my word, you've not denied my name. To these there is a warning, as He said, hold fast. What's the warning? There's always a danger of backsliding. And the exhortation is to hold fast. There's always a danger of losing the rewards that we have gained from the Lord. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 14, it says, If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. God has rewards. However, we might lose some of those by unfaithfulness. God has things laid up for us. But I believe there is the possibility of that loss. I do not believe tonight that once you've received salvation, you can lose it. According to this morning's message, I do believe you can lose that salvation if you never receive it, because it will never be yours. But I do believe tonight we can lose our rewards. I was telling somebody tonight, I wish I could change my doctrine. I wish tonight that I could preach that if you get backslid, you might go to hell. Boy, what would that do for holy living in the pew tonight? But do you understand something tonight? The Lord gave us, in the book of 1 John, this realization. That if we really believe that He's coming again, that will keep us in that position of holiness. You know what the problem is tonight? We don't really believe that He's about to come. Oh, did you know? After church, I'm coming to your house. Some of you might say, you better let me get there first. There's some things need straightened out. Had you known ahead of time, it would have been straightened out ahead of time. Amen? Behold, I come quickly. Hold fast that which thou hast, that no man take what? Thy crown. The rewards that are yours. And notice the last verse we'll deal with tonight. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. You go back to the end of the book of Revelation, you find out in the New Jerusalem, the Lord and the Lamb are the temple of it. Right now, God is building a holy temple. You are a temple of the Holy Spirit of God. But in that day, God promises that we will be pillars in that temple. Overcoming Christians are the pillars of that temple. A pillar is that which brings an ornateness to a building. It is that which also can solidify it. And notice what he says about them. They will have three identifying marks upon them. Notice what it says in verse 12. He says, he will make him a pillar and write upon him the name of my God. You know, a lot of folks are really worried about the mark of the beast, and we ought to get worried about the mark of God. The name of my God. He says, and the name of the city of my God. It's going to have an identification mark. And notice lastly, and I will write upon him my new name. I wonder what it's going to be. How glorious, no doubt it will be. God said, he will make us pillars in that temple. You and I have a part in that if we're saved tonight. Those who overcome are those who place their faith and trust in the blood of the Lamb. They have turned from their sin, they've turned unto God, and allow Him to take them through. Praise God for that wonderful privilege. What a church we have here. One of brotherly love. One that was seeking to accomplish. They didn't have a lot of strength. Maybe they didn't have a lot of people. That's what most believe. But they had a God amongst them. Brethren, tonight, we must realize who we are. And that of ourselves, we have not much ability. But in Christ, it is amazing what can be accomplished. What can be done? I preached a message here some time ago, 3-4 weeks ago, and talking about different kinds of learners. And I mentioned that night that there are certain folks that they learn in a different way than I learn in. I don't know how to teach them as well as some of you do. You might not teach because you stand in a pulpit or stand in front of a class. But you have an ability to work in the lives of individuals. And through the power of the Holy Spirit of God, you have privilege and opportunity to reach into the lives of others. Amen? We have that privilege. I mentioned up in prayer meeting a little while ago that we have enough workers in Open Door Baptist Church to do what needs to be done. They're just not all doing it. And one of the things that we as God's people need to do, and I need your help, I can't do it. But together we can, through the power of God. And that is in the courage and to be a part of the lives of others. I mentioned a while ago, there are those who, that was kind of tongue-in-cheek, they cannot maintain a great spirituality on one time a week. It's not going to happen. Because it's not God's will. Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together. That's God's word. And we need that. They need that. How can that happen? As you and I encourage them in those things. You might be amazed how your word, coupled with even an announcement that there's church on Sunday night, might get somebody here. They need that. How might get them here on a Wednesday night? And how you might be helping in discipling them. By the way, discipling is not just sitting down with a book in front of you. It's encouraging them along every time you see them. Having a part in their life. Seeking to build them for the cause of Christ. Amen? And a lot of that can be done as we get together right here. How we need that. And how they need that. Church of brotherly love. Let's be Philadelphians. Amen? And reach out. Listen, we got a great job to do. We don't have much strength. We're not very important people in this city. Really, seriously. But we have a God. Amen? Let's get the job done for Him, for His glory. Father, tonight, I pray You will bless. Lord, help us to understand some wonderful things from this church. Oh God, may we pattern ourselves here. Oh God, may we be a people who really learn to put You first in everything and draw others along with us. Lord God, have Your way and will. Strengthen in every heart here. God, give me wisdom. Give each of us wisdom as we seek to draw men and women into the cause of Christ. Bless in these moments, Lord, as we take some time for invitation, or maybe some dedication, maybe some prayers of forgiveness, maybe some prayers of intent. Lord, whatever You've laid in our heart, cause that to take place. I pray now in Jesus' name. Amen.